So the people that are in your world right now, the people that you're united with right now, the question is not if you agree. No, no, no. The question is, what do you agree on? Because unity is a revealer. It reveals something. I wonder the people in your world, what is it that you are united around? Because it can be good things. I mean, it can be good things like building church or helping people or loving people or wanting a great marriage or being amazing parents. That could be good things. It could be neutral things like hobbies or health things or whatever, you know, sports. But it could also be negative things. You could be united around attitudes. You could be united around hurt and pain or united around, you know, your thinking and negative thinking. I mean, unity is a revealer. Welcome to This Is Us podcast. I'm your host, Thomas Hansen, and my wife and I have the honor of serving alongside an amazing team as lead pastors of Hillsong Church in Denmark and Malmö. This podcast is a collection of short episodes regarding life, leadership, and culture. If you haven't done so already, please click follow and subscribe. And as always, if you find this to be valuable, feel free to share it with others. Well, welcome to This Is Us, and we are now diving into the toolbox where we're going to discover some tools for all levels of leadership. And today I want to talk about unity. In the first book of the Bible, Genesis, we have the famous story of the Tower of Babel, where people were united and they sought to build this tower to the heavens to make a name for themselves. I mean, everything about this was just wrong from the outset. And it says that God looked down at their work and said, if people are one and they speak the same language, nothing will be impossible for them. That's in Genesis 11:6, which is crazy. I mean, that's amazing to think about it, that unity enables us to do anything. I mean, if you want to make any team ineffective, you just have to sow disunity. Because unity is when you agree and you build one vision together. Now, you can have different dreams and you can have different ideas for, let's say, your department, your teams, or whatever, under the overall vision and mission. I mean, that is ultimately what submission is. Sub, think about submarine, that's underwater. Sub just means under, mission, submission, to be under the mission. That's what it is. But the moment you have two visions, you have division, that's division. So let's talk about unity. Just a few thoughts about unity and why it's important. First of all, number one, unity commands a blessing. I think all of us, if you've grown up in church, have heard the verse, the Psalm 133, that says how good and how pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. And it says there the Lord commands a blessing. And I think that's why unity is constantly under attack. You know, the enemy will take any chance to isolate someone and sow disunity. Think about Paul, the Apostle Paul. Every time he spoke to the saints in a city, he always spoke to the saints, you know, in plural. Like there was always more. Because the enemy wants to isolate. And how does he do that? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, it says that the weapons we fight with, they're not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So we see this progression from thought to argument. Argument is when the thoughts start making sense, to a stronghold. Strongholds is when you start defending your arguments. You know, whatever disunity comes in, doesn't come in like this massive attack. Often it just starts with a thought. It might be the smallest thought about your leader, about your colleague, about your boss, whoever it is. It might be, oh, I can't believe they think like that. They think this about me. And that thought might not have any basis on reality. But if we keep entertaining that, there's an old saying that says you cannot hinder the birds flying over your hair, but you can hinder them building a nest in your hair. And that's what it is. A thought is just a thought. It just came by. But that doesn't mean you have to entertain it. If you entertain it, it becomes an argument. And later, a stronghold. But unity commands a blessing. Number two, unity is actually an example of God. In John 17, Jesus, he prays for his disciples in verse 20. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message. So like us today, he's praying for us, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me that they may be one as we are one. I and them, you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. I think it's crazy. You know, that one of the main examples that Jesus says we will give to people to show that we belong to Jesus is our unity and our love for one another. Personally, I think this is one of the reasons why marriage is under attack, why relationships are under attack, why people's commitment to the local church is under attack, because it breaks that original design of unity. Number three, unity is a choice. It's a choice. Man, this hurts just saying it, let alone hearing it. Because unity, it's not a feeling. Unity is a choice. I choose to be united with you. Unity is a choice. Unity is active. That I'm actively pursuing you. I'm actively pursuing to be on your team. I'm actively pursuing to be on your side. It has to be a conviction. I have to believe this in the core of my being. It cannot just be a preference, because preferences are challenged by seasons and feelings. It has to go beyond that. You know, it doesn't mean that we agree on everything, and that's the thing. But when we have these arguments, whatever it might be, you know, arguments are not bad in itself, but when we have these arguments, have a home, you know, have a home that we can travel out from so that we can explore an argument, we can explore disagreements, but our home is that we're united. You know, if you start judging a person mid-argument, you're not getting the full picture. And it's the same when it comes to, you know, the disagreements that might be on a team. Make the choice that everything we do, you know, the home, the base, the foundation is still the same, and that is that we are united. The fourth thing, there's seven. That's a very Christian number. That's why I thought seven is good. Number four, unity is not uniformity. Man, that's so important. Unity is not uniformity. That means that there is room for different personalities, opinions, passions. Even between churches, unity is not uniformity. I mean, if you're looking like theologically, yes, we have dogma that if we are Christians, there are certain things that we believe. And then we have doctrines. You know, as long as they are not interfering with our dogma, we can have even different doctrines. But then we go down another level, which is disciplines, which is really how we outwork local church life. Now, you can be in a church and you believe in the same things when it comes to the big picture. You might even believe in the same things when it comes to the smaller picture. But then it comes down to the actual outworking, which really sometimes it's just a preference. And you might say, well, I don't like that and whatever. You know what? Maybe it's just finding a place, finding a home, finding a church, finding a team where you can believe in all three levels, dogma, doctrine, and disciplines. Or just at the end of the day, agree to disagree. You know, love and anger can coexist. Love and anger can coexist. Anger is not sin. The Bible is very clear in Ephesians, says, be angry, yet do not sin. Those things can coexist. If you're going to settle a matter with someone, Jesus tells us in Matthew 5, do it while you're still together on the way. So unity is not uniformity. Number five, unity is authentic. It's not a structure. It's not about a time and a place. I think sometimes, especially if you are a personality where you're very, you know, let's just get this done. You know, it's easy to go, all right, let's get everyone in the same room and just be united, you know, and you plan unity. It's like the parent, like pulling the kids aside and say, all right, say sorry. Okay, give each other a cuddle. Hey, you're best friends now. And it's like they both slam the doors on the way, you know, out of the argument. Unity is not about time and place. Unity is not just about saying the right thing. You know, unity, it's authentic. It's a heart matter. It's what is going on in the heart. And I think it's a shame when pastors, they're afraid of talking because they're afraid to get into trouble over words when their heart is in the right place. Unity, it's authentic. Number six, unity is a revealer. Amos 3:3 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Amos is what the theologians or the scholars call a minor prophet, which I think that's low. It's low calling someone who actually made the Bible a minor prophet. Come on, man. But Amos 3:3, it says, can two people walk together unless they agree to do so? It's a rhetorical question because the answer is no, they can't. Of course, if you're walking with someone and you're walking in step at the same speed in the same direction, of course you agree on something. Whether you agree on the direction, whether you agree on the pace, the estimated time of arrival, the mode of transport, whatever, you agree on something. So the people that are in your world right now, the people that you're united with right now, the question is not if you agree. No. The question is, what do you agree on? Because unity is a revealer. It reveals something. I wonder the people in your world, what is it that you are united around? Because it can be good things. I mean, it can be good things like building church or helping people or loving people or wanting a great marriage or being amazing parents. That could be good things. It could be neutral things like hobbies or health things or whatever, you know, sports. But it could also be negative things. You could be united around attitudes. You could be united around hurt and pain or united around, you know, your thinking and negative thinking. I mean, unity is a revealer. Lastly, unity is a fruit of the Spirit. Unity, it's a fruit of the Spirit. And that's where, you know, we need God's grace, which is just God helping us. We need Jesus because as humans, we are just so naturally inclined to be selfish, naturally inclined to constantly look for what's wrong in other people. One of my favorite quotes is by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a German pastor during the Second World War. He actually got executed a week before the camp he was in was rescued. And he said in one of his letters, he said, whether I look at my brother or I look at my enemy, they both look the same to me because I look at them both through Jesus. That Jesus becomes the filter. You know, there's always something that you can look at someone else and say, well, that's wrong, or that's wrong, that's wrong. Well, what about as Christians? We look at each other through Jesus. Man, we apply filters to everything else. Why not apply filters to one another? Because love covers a multitude of wrongdoings. Let's apply the filter of Jesus between us and let's believe to have unity. Thank you for listening to This Is Us podcast. Whether you listen to them as an individual or as a team, we hope that they add value to you. Make sure to click follow or subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Thank you for joining us. We are who we are. This is us.